Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Hang Out. I'm Ellie Brigida.
And I'm Lee Holmes Foster, and here's what's happening this week.
This week in the lesdom.
This week in the lesdom is somewhere that we can touch base every episode about things that are going on with the podcast or otherwise, and we want to start by reminding you that our trivia are back up and rolling, and we are trying to do trivia every month for as long as we can. So coming up next in March, we are going to be having another round, that's right, of Schitt's Creek trivia. We've done them before. We are going to have all new questions again. They are so popular. We have such a blast with the Schitt's Creek crew. So please, please, please don't miss out. It's going to be on March 25th and March 27th. So we're going to have two sessions again. March 25th, it's a Thursday. We're going to be starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And we're also going to have another round of that question set on March 27th at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And we cannot wait to see all of you there. In the greater Les universe, we also want to talk about a couple things going on these days. First of all, it seems like TERFs and transphobes are, you know, all over the place again these days. So we just want to send out a reminder to all of our trans listeners. However you identify, whether you are straight or queer or anything, you are welcome here and we love you. And that's really all there is to say about that, I guess. It shouldn't be so hard. And yet, the more times that we continue to have to say it, the more important it becomes. So just a reminder, trans folk are all welcome here, and we will always want you to be part of our community. Other things that we've been hearing about, the Dickinson season finale. I hear people have some feelings about that. Maybe? Who's to say? I will be perfectly upfront. I still have not caught up on Dickinson. I know, it is a shame. It's one of the few streaming platforms I don't have yet, and we just haven't gotten there. So, but if this last finale was not going to be enough to convince me, I don't know what would be. So I'm looking into my options so that I can catch up and feel all the feels about the bathtub that everyone else is feeling feels about, okay? Also, other things that I haven't watched, but I'm here to tell you about nonetheless, Ginny and Georgia is getting a lot of airtime in our Patreon Discord chat. So I've heard nothing but good things, with the caveat that it is another Netflix show with some queer rep that has not, I think, officially been commissioned for another season, which, you know, we all get nervous about, because Netflix likes to cancel all of our shows. So people seem to like it, and I've heard it has some queer in it, and it's, you know, fun. It sounds kind of vaguely reminiscent of, like, Gilmore Girls, but not. That's all I can tell you. So that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee, and welcome to our 60th installment of Should Have Been Gay.
It was fun, it was great, but it should have been.
And in this week's episode, Might I go play with Eloise?
A lady does not play Penelope.
Oh, forgive me, Mama. Might I go promenade for suitors with Eloise?
Yes, you may.
I love a good promenade. Who doesn't?
I love a good promenade. Are we going to talk in British accents for this entire show?
Oh my God, the entire episode.
And we are joined by a beautifully lovely guest, Crew Makedo, who is the founder of the Black Lesbian Archives. Crew, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Hey, thank you so much for, you know, inviting me to the couch. You feel me?
Sure. Are we going to get a British accent out of you as well, Crew? Or
would you like for me to, you know, expound on what I know? I can definitely tell you a couple of things that we can do.
Oh, that would be delightful.
For now,
please.
You know, I would just like a cup of tea with maybe some mint or something like that. And, you know, we can kind of wrap a taste on what we want to do going further.
Every British listener has turned off this episode already.
They're like, just kill it. Like,
they're like, delete.
You're done. Like, just stop.
We're doing our best. I was talking to some of my friends about Bridgerton and, like, who haven't seen it. As if you didn't know, we're doing Bridgerton today, fellow listeners. But I was talking to some of my friends about it and they were like, oh, is it a British show? I was like, it's like an American British show, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, it's what Americans think, like, a British show would be.
You're right. Exactly.
So it makes a lot of sense that all of these accents are happening perfectly, splendidly. Another British show. So, Crew, we usually go right into our IMDb synopsis. However, you do some pretty amazing things, so we want to hear more about them before we jump in. So can you tell our listeners more about the Black Lesbian Archives?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Black Lesbian Archives was started back in 2017. Never knew I would be doing this with my life. Honestly, I'm not even going to lie to y'all. It's something that definitely came to me at a time that I was having yet another spiritual awakening. And I watched this documentary. It was like the last lesbian bars across America. And after watching that, watching all these bars close down, especially after I was kind of done and over with watching like a whole bunch of lesbian web series shows, I was like, it gotta be more. Like,
I understand.
I started doing a little bit more research, G, and it popped up and I watched it. And I was just like, at that time, you know, being or going to a lesbian space or a lesbian bar was very big for us to like meet other people who, you know, look like us and not look like us, but, you know, just people who jive with you, who speak the same language as you or speak multiple languages, but still, you know what I'm saying, speak the same language as you. And that was a big thing. So when I realized that this was a recent documentary and a lot of places and spaces that we go to commune were closing down, I was like, damn, well, what does that mean for the rest of the community? You know, what does that mean for us? And so after that, I mean, that same day I started everything, I was like Instagram, website, like Facebook, like I just went in because I was just like, I ended up moving. I was in Williamsburg, Virginia at the time, and I ended up staying with my auntie. Then I ended up moving to Chicago out of nowhere. Never thought I would. I was actually, before I moved to Chicago, I was actually talking to somebody there. So I kind of knew what Chicago was like. I went out there. I was able to go, actually my first year there, I was able to go to an exhibit and it was one of the most beautiful exhibits I've ever seen. It was like dyke spaces of the 60s, 70s and 80s in Chicago. And I mean, everything from the bars that everybody used to go to like the publications, to some of the women that were involved in like some of like, you know, these movements in Chicago, and it just moved me. But I really wanted to see more of women in the Black lesbian community because I always knew, especially just with doing research, that Black women have been on the forefront of a lot of these movements, but we don't talk about that. Black lesbian women have been on the forefront of a lot of these movements, but we don't necessarily document or talk about those things. And so from then I was like, okay, well, shit, we could take that and actually do, maybe we should just like, let's just do an exhibit. I was like, let's just do an exhibit then. So I was hooked up with Tracy Baim of Windy City Times. She was one of the co-founders of Windy City Times, which is like a LGBTQ newspaper that goes out. Windy City Times, I think just stopped. They're solely digital now, but Tracy Baim actually works as the editor of the Chicago Reader now. Shout out to Tracy. I spoke to Tracy about what I was trying to do. You know, she kind of sat me down and kind of told me like, okay, this is interesting that you're doing this because this is kind of how I started too. I mean, she's not a Black lesbian per se, but just especially when the AIDS epidemic really hit, she realized that there wasn't really a lot of documentation going on about all the lives within the community that were being lost without their stories being told. So she started it. So I got connected with her. She connected me to Imani, which was one of the executive directors at Affinity Community Service at that time. She's now over at the NLRC, the National Lesbian Rights Center or something. Don't quote me on it. It's in California somewhere. All right.
We'll edit over it if it's wrong.
Yeah. I think it's the NLRC, the National Lesbian Center for Rights or something like that. I told her what I wanted to do. At first, I was like, there was like this big thing of like inclusion. Like I was like, should I call this the Black Lesbian Archives or should I call it the Black Queer Archives? Because I also run a social media thing called the Queer Black Creatives. But then Imani just hit me with it like so airy. He's like, what are you doing this for? And I was like, well, doing this for Black lesbians. You feel me? Like as a Black lesbian woman. And so from then on, I was going to actually have the exhibit. People would have been screaming if I would have had it for a week. But she was like, this is going to be, you know, June, July. She was like, it's going to be Pride Month. You should do it for an entire month instead of like just a week. So that was like an 8-month process of just like research and talking to people within the community and just, you know, kind of seeing. And I was realizing that there was so much that was just like lost, or so many things that hadn't been recorded or documented and stuff. So I was like, well, how can we just start the conversation so we can start bringing these things together collectively? So had the exhibit. It was dope. You know, we did everything from like we had a film screening room in there where you could go and watch films. Some of the women that were involved, and they kind of tell their story live on camera, on video. We had like a confessional, BLA confessional room where you like go in the green screen room and you like, you know what I mean? Like you telling your story, you know what I mean? We had like a prompt and stuff. And then we had all the like archival material like all around the room. We had a panel discussion. We had an archival workshop. I mean, we had all types of stuff going on. The opening with Yvonne Welvin, which is a Black lesbian filmmaker and producer. And she had just dropped her book. It was like the African lesbian media making, Women in the Life, and talking about directing and producing and like what that means to like really produce our own media and what that would look like for the grand scheme of things. So it was, I mean, it was incredible. It was amazing. And I just, after I sat with it, like, I don't even know why I'm about to get emotional. Like I'm like, damn.
It sounds amazing. Get as emotional as you want.
Okay. I'm like, okay. Now that it's like hitting me, I'm like, damn, I did do all that. Ooh. It made me realize just how much we needed to kind of have like that coming to Jesus moment. Okay. And I'm not talking about the Jesus that y'all all know. You feel me? Like, it was just, there was a part of this intergenerational thing that had been missing, because that was what it was based off of, just bridging these community gaps. It just kind of kicked off from there. You know, we ended up doing events around Chicago, ended up doing a 9-day tour stop back in 2019. I was about to go on tour last year, but that got stopped. I mean, of course, mm-hmm. due to COVID and everything else going on. And since then, it just kind of allowed me to kind of like build out exactly like vision of BLA, because ultimately the first exhibit I did, I told people that I actually wanted to have a building, you know, or just starting off with a building, a house, a home that people can actually come to do research, to connect with each other, to organize shit, to party, you feel me? To, you know, because I've been in so many like museums and places that are so cold, and I get it. Like, you know, of course, with, you know, the material, you want them to be a certain temperature so they don't get like fucked up and they not all like wet or too hot, or, you know, so they don't depreciate and things. So I get that. But it was just a very cold, it's always been a very cold environment. And I'm like, all of us are just such a colorful community for things to be so sterile and like feeling like I'm in a fucking hospital or something. You feel me? So I'm like, I want to walk into a museum where like you feel that it feels like home. Like it feels like when you walk in there, no matter where you're from, no matter where you come in, it's just like, oh, like this is, yo, even if this is not your history, this is where I'm supposed to be at this moment, you know? And so building was definitely something that, you know, was like the end goal. Multiple buildings, you know, it's like an end goal for BLA, so we can get that one-on-one learning about this technology, you know what I mean? Learning about even not just only digitizing, but the physical aspects of archiving too, because like I tell people all the time, if they ever decided that they wanted to delete the internet or delete our files, they could. you definitely want to have a mixture of both physical and digital, but let's not sleep on the physical, y'all. That's a given craft. It's something you could touch. It's something you can feel. It's something you can hold. It's something that you'll actually sit with. Then that physical thing allows you to sit with it. When we was having even the tours or just setting up, when we started doing mobile after the first exhibit, people could actually come and be like, oh, wow, like looking through the stuff, like, damn, I didn't even know this existed. You feel me? Mm-hmm. I feel like digital sometimes kind of overwhelms you because it can be so much information on this tiny ass screen. And it's just, it can be a lot. You feel me? So physical is definitely the goal. Now with the bus per se, the bus was actually something that I wanted to do when I was in Williamsburg, Virginia, but I actually wanted to just live on the road. I was like, I just want to live on the road. I want my own fucking van. You feel me? I'm just living life. Like, I just wanted, I knew that.
I see that for you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to be out, you know, live on the road and just experience life outside of like the walls. Because my life is like that. You know, my life is set up like that. You know what I mean?
And, yep.
But really, the bus, I turned that into, I was like, well, why don't we just combine both? Why don't you actually, instead of just having a van and throwing all your stuff in a van and just driving around, you know, the world and, you know what I mean, doing your North Node Sagittarius shit, like, why don't you just, you know, do that? You can have both, best of both worlds. You know, you can actually live on the bus, but also teach off the bus. You know, you can have storytellers on the bus, you know, teaching people how to use different types of media to be in order to be able to share their story. But I come from a storyteller perspective. It's easy for me to piece things together, bring it into one and actually piece and tell the story. So actually having people come onto the bus, share their stories. If you are in that city, you know, hiring tour guides to actually, you know, take you around the city and where they, you know, where they stay and where they're from, having events off the bus, you know what I'm saying? Like little powwows and stuff. You know what I mean? Like a place where we can come together, we can feel comfortable and we can really like harness bonds. One thing that's really, I feel like has been lost is like true bonds. We are so quick. I'm not going to get too deep into it. Bring me back.
We also need a jingle. I'm not going to get into this.
I'm not going to get into too deep into it. Right? I have to be telling myself because I'll be wanting to. We live in a world, and it will bring me back to what I'm saying. We live in a world that's very quick to cancel. We're very, very quick cancel culture without hearing each other out. We're quick to point the finger and say, oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. Oh, you must be this, without actually listening to each other and really saying what it is that we have to say, because we're too scared that if we say the wrong thing, then you're under fire for what you feel and what you think. You know what I mean? So shit, even teaching about communication, all the stuff that we do to relay the messages to each other has even been like over just a lot. So all of this stuff going on with the bus. And so this year I'll be, you know, launching the Kickstarter for that. The 27th, actually, I'll be launching the Kickstarter for that to raise funds for the bus. Also, like, prerequisite for the tour, because I'm hoping, I haven't made an announcement yet, but I'm hoping if all else, you know, looks good, we can launch that off in 2022. So we'll be going on the bottom end from, because I'm in Atlanta right now, or I'm in Georgia right now. So that bottom end from Atlanta to California. And then 2023 from like Vegas, from that area all the way to somehow end up in Chicago, which I'm happy about because I was trying to do all of that in 1 year. You know, like 2020, I sat down and I was like, what was you trying to pull? Like, what were you trying to do? Like, what is your motive? Like, chill, like you're doing too much. So I'm happy that I actually got the time to like really kind of break those things up. So I'm not, and I'm going through my Saturn return right now in Aquarius. So I just feel like I just need some time to just be alone on that bus while I'm like driving and stuff for a minute until we actually get into the cities and then we have like tour guides and stuff. So I'm glad we broke that up. So all that to say.
Sometimes you gotta like, you know, when you get like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then you got to like pull it all back in, gather it all together, you know.
And that's exactly what 2020 did. It was like, sit down.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Take a breath.
Figure this out for real. Right?
Breathe for a second. Yeah.
You don't have to do it all in 1 year. You feel me? You can break things up. And it also just allows you to kind of take things in. So you're not so like overwhelmed with like, okay, I got to, you know what I mean? Like I was busting stuff like the next day. I'm like, what the? we're not going to talk about it. I'm childish. Not going to talk about it. Childish, baby. So,
but stuff to look forward to.
There's a lot to look
good
forward
stuff
to.
Coming.
Definitely. Definitely a lot to look forward to. Definitely awesome. Good stuff coming. Exhibit March. No. Whoa. Tomorrow, February 20th through March 28th with the Ashe Project. So y'all make sure y'all come through for that. We'll be discussing the history of Ashe, how to really bridge those connections between our world, and the fact that Ashe Project was not only a publication, but it was actually a global connection between worlds from the Bay Area all the way from places like Germany, you know, Africa, you feel me? So we'll be also discussing that too, and all that information will be there. So just make sure y'all come through for that. And that's
cool.
That's what we got for now. You feel me? Nice. That's definitely what we got for now.
That is a lot for now and a lot for later. And I'm so impressed with you. It's very cool.
Thank you.
It's very,
thank
very
you.
Cool.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You for sharing all of that with us. I wish we could talk all day about it, but we're here to talk about we need to I have to bring us back to Bridgerton, unfortunately.
Do it.
No, you're good. Let's get back to Bridgerton. I don't know what that was. Whoa.
It was a valiant attempt. So we're going to get back. We're going to get back to Bridgerton. And Lee, you know you have to kick us off with our IMDb synopsis.
I feel like I need to emotionally prepare myself every time. So, okay. For anyone like me who has not still seen Bridgerton, here's the IMDb synopsis. Wealth, lust, and betrayal set against the backdrop of Regency-era England, seen through the eyes of the powerful Bridgerton family.
Pretty solid. Pretty solid.
Yeah, you know, we've had worse.
Crew, you actually suggested that we do this for It Should Have Been Gay. So why did... Do you want to give us your gay synopsis first?
Well, first of all, let's talk. Oh, we're going to get into Eloise.
Oh, okay? Yes. Oh,
we
yes.
We're going to get into you. I'm coming for you. I've been waiting for coming to you for about 2 or 3 weeks, Eloise. And if you're watching this or you ever get a chance to watch this, no, I see you. Okay. Second season, baby. Bring her out.
She better.
Bring her out, because we already know what's going on here. Yo.
Your gay synopsis is just Eloise.
I'm coming for you, Eloise.
Eloise.
That's the gay synopsis.
You can't hide. Nope, it's just Eloise. And if anybody else is there, cool. But my eye is on Eloise, because she made it very,
amazing.
Very clear, okay, that she was a little gay baby. And it was so obvious
really did.
That the baby didn't want to be courted at all. I mean, the disgust on her face. And even when she was looking for, even when she didn't realize who the person was that was writing the tea, okay, she was still like, oh my God, I'm about to be courted. Oh my God, like my life. I just want to be free. I just want to be me. And I was just like, ooh, this sounds so familiar. Oh my God.
This is what I love. I love when we do Should Have Been Gays and the gay synopsis is just like this, just this character. That's all I need to say.
Yes.
There's nothing else. You don't need to say anything else.
Nothing
so,
else.
I love it.
Lee,
nothing.
I know
her
you-
brother was very clear, right? Her brother was very clear. He could have been both ways. He could have been, maybe that could have been a beard for him. But I
we'll
do
talk,
feel like
we'll
he was in love.
It. We'll talk about it
for sure.
Eloise,
we have, yeah. Eloise
for
is for sure. Lee, you haven't seen Bridgerton.
I haven't watched it yet. I've done some research. I've watched some clips. I've read some articles. I did write a gay synopsis for a show I haven't seen. Because,
all right, I'm
I mean,
ready.
Who's
well,
gonna stop me,
based on
right?
your research, what's
okay,
the synopsis?
Okay, based on my research, here is my gay synopsis. And here's what I love. This is my gay synopsis that I tell myself so that if I do ever get around to watching the show, this is what I expect and nothing less than this. Okay, so my gay synopsis for Bridgerton is Victorian gossip girl falls for the girl next door. And together, they learn how babies aren't made.
I just left out a wailing laugh. Not the gossip girl. I'm weak.
Is that not correct? I think she's
no,
gossip
you,
girl.
No, you spot on.
I think,
yeah.
Right?
No, that's completely correct. That is completely correct.
What about you, Ellie? Hit us with your gay.
My gay
synopsis
is more just like talking about the queer baiting of this.
Yes.
Bridgerton. We gave you gay sex in the trailer and then never gave it to you again.
Weak. Never
rude.
Again. It's over.
Rude.
God.
That is all. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about. And it's funny because we haven't done one of these in a while where I actually like have not watched the show. I watched as much. I did some more research after you asked me to write your TikTok, Ellie.
Yes.
So I feel like I'm prepared, but God, I'm so ready to just hear all of the reasons that
you have lots of thoughts. What was your experience with Bridgerton? So, like, when did you watch it? What were your feelings while you were watching it?
Yeah, I watched Bridgerton probably like at the beginning of this year. So if there's some stuff I might be a little rusty on, but I pretty much got the gist of it. My sister was just like, oh my God, there's this show. You gotta watch it. It's the best show ever. She was like, you would never guess who it is. First episode, knew who it was.
And
she was like, I'm not gonna tell you who it is. First episode, I guess who it is. Because
it's pretty
obvious. I see mess. Yeah, it was so obvious. I was like, she is messy. You are a messy bird. So I already knew who it was the first time I watched it. It was honestly, what I loved about it though, there was so much like diversity, like in so many levels too. Like I've never seen a show that was so, and then even like the eloquent like speech and language in so many different ways. You know, it was beautifully shot, colorful, you feel me? You know, shout out to Lady Whistledown. You feel me? Shout out to I honestly thought Lady Whistledown might have been a little.
Wait, what did you think about Lady Whistledown?
I thought Lady Whistledown was a whole lesbian woman.
Oh yes.
Because we never seen her with no king. And I've never seen a period type of movie that didn't have a king. Like it's always been.
Oh
like
wait,
a king.
Sorry.
A queen.
Are you talking about the queen or are you talking about Lady Whistledown?
I'm sorry.
Queen Charlotte, yes.
Queen Charlotte. I'm sorry. I got Lady Whistledown in the queen.
But
the
also,
queen,
see,
queen
no,
Charlotte.
It's so confusing. All right, so.
Yeah, because I'm like, wait, is Lady Whistledown?
Yeah. I hate to say this. If you haven't seen Bridgerton, well, Lee hasn't seen Bridgerton, but like,
me,
if you haven't seen Bridgerton, I'm sorry. Like, we're going to spoil it for you. It's fine. So, Lady Bridgerton, voiced by Julie Andrews, but also is Penelope, right? So when you put it that way, it's like the Lady Whistledown you hear sounds like a huge lesbian. When she's talking, she's petty. She like all she cares about is gossip. Like she's either a lesbian or a gay woman or a gay man.
Yes.
And but now that we know it is Penelope as well, it just vindicates it so much more because I think Penelope's gay.
I do too. Like I thought about that too. I'm like, Penelope might have the potential to be, and she might be in love with Eloise, but yes. We don't know this. We just gonna have to see on that season too. You feel me? But no, I thought about that too.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It was so much petty back end stuff going on. Even every time she was clicking them heels to get that mail every day, I was like, oh, you the one. I know it's you. She would go down the steps like this, going through the mail. Messy. Just what is the mail saying? I was like, I've never seen a bird gop so quick. Girl. Like,
yes. Yes.
To be fair though, like imagine if we had to physically go like check our DMs, right? Like how many of us would look exactly the same being like, oh, did someone message me on Instagram today? Yeah. Just like, oh,
exactly
how many likes? Gotta go check my Twitter.
That's
exactly
so true. Lady was Penelope's just like fiending for likes. She's like, how many people liked what I wrote
yes.
today?
Yes. She's like an original influencer, right?
She is an influencer.
Old school, OG influencer.
She's an influencer and a troll, but also like to be fair, most of the most successful influencers are trolls.
Are absolutely trolls.
So.
Yes, they are.
Okay,
and we don't need to get into the social commentary on
well,
that.
Well, and before we do too much, Ellie, because I mean, obviously I haven't seen it, but I want to hear your experience with Bridgerton as well. Because here's the thing, before you tell me, here's why I'm curious, because I obviously have heard so much about this. I've like seen so much about the show. I've read so much about the show. My problem is that I'm like, we have so much like actually queer content to consume these days, right? And I was like, all we have are period piece lesbians these days, you know, like in our movies.
So you're saying like, how did I watch an entire straight period piece?
Yeah, I was like, I kind of decided that I was like, do I have time for like a straight period piece right now? I don't know that I do. So tell
and
me
I
a
guess
little
I
more
do.
About how you decided the other way.
I'm weak.
Okay, so I started, you know, like, okay. So every night before I go to sleep, I'll like watch something on Netflix, right? Mm-hmm. And like sometimes it's something I've already seen. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to start something new. So one of those nights, I just started to start Bridgerton. And as I started it, I was like, damn, I'm into it. So I was like, it was like 11 and I'm like, really should be asleep. And I'm like awake till like 1 a.m. And then I was like, all right, I need to go to sleep. But then after I had watched the first two episodes, every day since then, I just kept watching. I couldn't stop. And yes, it's not as gay as I want it to be at all. But well, it was like,
really,
I mean, it was, yeah, whatever it is. But it was a great show. Like, it's like, it's a bit trashy. Like, yes, like there's like drama. But it was like you said, crew, like very well done. Beautiful cinematography. Mm-hmm. Great acting. I will say there was one episode where it's literally just the two main characters having sex for an hour. And I got very bored with that episode. But like, I feel like if I was straight, I probably would have loved it. But I was like, okay, I'm so over this heterosexual sex for like an hour.
Yo. Honestly, that episode really showed me just how much we don't talk about sex. Like, I was like, girl, so you mean to tell? No? You...
Y'all
she never,
didn't
know. Yeah. Okay. So wait, because I have okay. Since I haven't seen the show now, I have to clarify because like okay, yes. Everyone has seen that TikTok making the rounds right now with the girl who's like, well, we did a study on like how long sex should last, and like you know the average is like 5 to 7 minutes for like straight
the
couples.
Whole time.
So yeah, for straight couples. So okay. My question is this an hour of them having sex? Once or like
no, it's basically like an hour long montage. It's like an hour long montage of the different days they had sex.
It was a honeymoon phase.
Yeah, it was their honeymoon, and it was
great.
So Daphne, who's the Duchess, she has no clue how babies are made.
Well, apparently, no one in this show does. I don't get it.
Oh no,
they never do.
Okay.
And
they know.
It's also just like a montage of the Duke just like constantly pulling out.
And I was like,
it's literally the point of the episode. It is
like
the
a
point
part
of the episode.
In there too, where she was like, why do you do that? I was like, no. She was like, why do you do that? He was like, it just feels so good that I just.
No.
I was like,
no. I wish everyone could see the look on Ellie and Maya's faces as we just.
Are just like
horrified right now.
Well, because
like, what?
It's just, to explain what's going on for you, Lee. So the Duke also I'll talk too much about this, like just this show in general. So many toxic relationships. Like so many.
A lot of toxicity.
Yeah.
All toxic relationships, but like that's sort of the point, I think. But then I'm like, is it the point? Like, are people striving for this relationship? I can't tell. But so the Duke told Daphne that he could not have kids.
Right.
And she thought that meant he was physically incapable. However, he just meant he didn't want to. And so every time they have sex, he pulls out and she doesn't understand why. And then we all know he's pulling out because he doesn't want to make a baby. And she thinks he's infertile. It's very, very complex storyline.
It was the craziest thing I ever saw in my life. I'm like, y'all was preparing her for marriage, but y'all wasn't preparing her for pot. Y'all talking about her having all these kids. Nobody told her that
how
in order to have
them?
A baby, you got to put the one in.
Yep.
Well, for some people, put the one and the two together. I was blown.
Yep.
I was blown. I was like, does she not? I was like, no, this is for real. Like, she really doesn't know that this is a thing. I was
yep.
blown.
I think what she really needed is she needed that guy from like the original L Word to like teach her how you make a baby. do you remember that guy when they try to, what is it? It's like Bette and Tina try to talk that guy into
and
like,
he was like, the dick
sleeping.
And the pussy.
The penis, the pussy, the baby. Yeah. They needed that guy back in,
they
know,
didn't have
back
it.
In Bridgerton days.
As we're talking about heterosexual sex, though.
Yeah, why are we
why
so much?
Have we talked so much about heterosexual sex in an episode about being gay? Let's talk a little bit about the missed opportunities in Bridgerton, because the point of Bridgerton, like the overarching point of the show is we don't learn enough about sex and we need to talk about it more, right? Like, that's one of the big themes we're talking about. There's all different types of relationships you can have, relationships that are outside of the norm, relationships that break societal norms. However, not lesbian ones.
Right, right. I mean, we had status in there too, like people marrying for money, all types of stuff. And I'm like, so y'all just gonna leave Eloise? Look here.
No, bring Eloise back, please. Give it.
Bring Eloise back. Do it.
We're just gonna leave her out this because we all. I mean, if you knew, if you know, you know, you saw it, like, just, I mean, salivating off her whole body, like, and I'm like, this is the out of all the things that y'all, like you just said. Out of all the things that y'all are talking about here, we're not going to talk about the fact that your girl doesn't want to be courted because she's a whole gay baby.
Like, exactly. So let's talk more about Eloise.
Yeah. Can we talk about the gayest things about Eloise? Because I, like, even from my, like, surface level viewing of clips of the show, I'm just like, come on, that girl cuts her own bangs and is gay. Like,
cuts her own bangs? You will not.
The bangs
tell me
is
I'm wrong.
Get cut.
Tell me I'm wrong. Come on.
Those bangs.
That is a gay power move. She's like, you don't own me. Chop, chop, chop. I am gay.
I would have killed. Okay, so Eloise, her whole thing is she does not want to get married. She does not want to go to court. She does not want to be paraded in front of men for marriage because she's so against gender norms, blah, blah, blah. Lesbian.
Yes.
I would have died to see Eloise. Show up, you know, when she, like, finally gets all dressed up because her mom wants her to. I wish she stole one of her brother's suits. She's like, I'll meet you there later. Like,
stop.
Sorry. And then she shows up to that final ball in a suit that does not fit her at all because she stole it from one of her brothers. Who cares?
But pants rolled up, cuffed to the knee.
Suit.
Yep.
Because she hates dresses. She doesn't want to do any of these things. She just wants to be her own woman with another woman.
Season two.
She was begging her sister. She was like, could you please take your time? Please take your time. Sis, you don't have to rush. You not marry him? Great. You know what I mean? Like, she was like, yes, don't get married. Matter of fact, just wait. You could die of old age. You feel me? Like, just be. So I don't have to be next in line. You feel me? Like, she sweated that. Like, she was not really trying to have all of that. I wish she would have did that too. I just think Eloise is still, I feel like once there's a season two, I feel like we're going to start to see that transformation. I think what they're leading us into it, but they had to start from the base first. Because you could see her, like, you could tell, like, her character was really struggling. She might have not talked about it, but just, like, all, like, the, I don't want to call it passive, but all the stuff that she talks around really goes back to the fact that she's a whole lesbian. Like, it's just, it's obvious, G.
It's so obvious.
It's also, like, any time that you have a show, a movie, or whatever, when you have one character who has no interest in marriage, has no interest in boys, doesn't want to follow society's rules, like, wants to rebel and be her own person and form a super close friendship with her best friend. And you're like, okay.
Doesn't she literally say to Penelope, like, how about we both just don't get married?
She did say that. She definitely did say that. She did. Right. I was like, okay, Eloise, come on, baby. Just come on over to this side. It's okay. We got seats. We got plates. You want a dinner?
Yep.
We got dinners for you. Like, what do you need? You feel me? Like, have y'all seen, I'm not trying to divert, but have y'all seen Little Fires Everywhere?
No.
Okay. I'm not going to get too in it. But that little one, she reminds me of Eloise. Like, their characters are, like, one and the same. Like you just said, when you have a whole character on there that's literally defined the laws of gravity, that's when you know that baby, she just might be a lesbian.
Yes.
You feel me? Period.
I have another thing I'd like to submit for Eloise being gay, which is the girl has a boner for Lady Whistledown.
I was gonna say that she, like, is obsessed.
Obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
Obsessed.
She definitely is.
Like, there are two things that matter to Eloise, and those two things are Penelope and Lady Whistledown. And that's why I think it's really interesting, because, again, I haven't seen the show, but season two, man, like, try to imagine the short circuit in her brain when she finds out, right? Like,
yeah.
When she finds out who Lady Whistledown is, and she's like, oh my god, my best friend that I'm totally in love with, and like, oh my god, this mythical Lady Whistledown who I, like, totally want to bone.
Right.
What?
Right.
This girl's world is going to be rocked, is all I'm saying.
I thought at the end, that last episode, I thought she caught that, because she thought that the actual person who was the person that her brother was sleeping with, what Eloise's brother was sleeping with, the tailor. That's who she thought it might have been around, because it was around that area at around that time. But I thought when she was at that ball and she looked around the room, I was like, did she just realize that her best friend is Lady Whistledown? Like, and then people were like, nah, it wasn't that. She just realized she got the wrong person. But they kind of drove it into something else. I'm like, no, did she know that, or I was just tripping? Did she realize that her best friend was Lady Whistledown?
I feel like we're not going to know till next season, but that I did not interpret it that way. But that is, I think, it could be how it was. It could be how that actor was acting it. I'm just not sure.
Yeah, she looked around the room and looked like she was about to cry, like, wait a minute. Because she was the only one in the room that wasn't there. And that dude told her, the queen, the butler dude, she was like, I don't be talking around him because he talked too much. He told her, he said, it has to be somebody who's not around during, because everybody comes to them balls. Like, everybody in that town comes to them balls. He's like, it's somebody who's not here. And usually, while everybody's at the ball, they'll go to this spot to go print out the stuff for the next day.
Yeah.
So when she looked, she panned around the room, like, I was like, did she just find out? Oh my God. I lost it. I was like, I think she just found out her friend is whole. And then when she was in the hood, in the back of the car, like,
I know.
Y'all, also y'all ain't seeing
I
me.
Will say, so let's talk a little bit about Penelope, because obviously, like, Eloise is just clear. Like, we know Eloise is gay. That's just hands down.
Right.
Penelope, I feel like, is sneaky, but still gay.
Mm-hmm.
Because with Penelope, we have something that Lee and I talk about in a lot of Should Have Been Gays, which is the stand-in. So stand-in for the gay characters is usually the brother.
Yep.
So, of course, she's in love with her best friend's brother. And we know for a fact he's traveling. That was clearly, like, not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's completely free to explore her feelings for Eloise when, I don't even remember the brother's name, Colin. When the brother's gone. So just
honestly,
get rid of them.
I feel like, what's her name? It was the cousin or somebody who had came in. She was pregnant. Was that the cousin? She was somebody's uncle.
Yes, the cousin.
Yeah, I can't remember her name either, but she was the cousin. And I was like, if this wasn't her cousin, I'm not trying to do no familial, like, ties or nothing like that. But I was like, if this wasn't her cousin, she would have been trying to get them panties last night. Okay. She was so into this relationship that I was like, girl, are you dating her? Or where is her man?
Her name is Marina.
Marina.
And I agree wholeheartedly. Penelope had the biggest crush on Marina.
She did.
It was
painful.
That
was not about Colin.
No.
It was never about Colin here. I was like, wait a minute. This is looking very familiar. I was like, I was like, no, you get in checking mail to check on your girl. You don't care about who's sending her what. You know what I mean? And I knew the sheets was foul when she reported that I think it was in the reports. I just remember the scene where her mama and her mama's friend was writing that letter as if she didn't want to be with her no more and all that. I was like, who in the town know that but you?
Yep.
You are the only one that lives in this house, and your sisters ain't worried about it because they just too busy being birds. But you be so quick on that mail, down them steps, bop, 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 feet, pedaling,
yep.
Pop, pop, pop. Ready for the mail. But yeah, it was Yeah, I was like, this is a thespian situation right here. Like, you like Marina, don't you? You like her. I mean, she your fam, but you, I think you like Marina.
People married their cousins back in the day, just saying.
They did. They definitely did. They did. They did.
That's
they
all.
Definitely did.
On that note, let's take a hot break. Ellie loves when I do this. On that note, let's take a hot break. We'll hear from some sponsors. We'll be right back to talk more about Penelope and Marina and marrying your cousins.
Thank God.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back after that lovely break.
Yes.
Like I said, people did marry their cousins back in the day. I feel like I could either ship Marina and Penelope or Penelope and Eloise. But Penelope and Colin had no chemistry.
At all.
Nothing.
Also, at all. We're talking about the things that make Penelope gay. I feel like we also have to touch on a secret identity that you're keeping concealed from everyone around you.
Ooh.
Right? Like, I feel like that's a big thing in terms of, like, queer coding is like she has a secret that like not even her best friend knows about her, that she's like hiding from society and all this stuff. And I'm like, I see it.
So true.
Right?
Yeah.
And
it's very true.
And even more than that, that identity is petty as shit.
Yes, that identity lets her be so gay.
It's what
you really. I said, for you for not to watch this, you are really good at this.
Like, we've got like a lifetime of making shows gay in our minds. Don't worry about
it. For real. Like, I'm like, damn. Well, okay. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't even think about that. Like, that's a very much real thing. Like, this underlying persona or mask that a lot of us wear within the community when we're first trying to kind of figure things out, and you're kind of suppressing, telling certain people in the family, telling the people that you care about, but you feel like if you tell them, you know, they're going to feel some type of way about
and
it.
And how is she suppressing it? By pretending to be super interested in a boy who is out of reach. Mm. Sound familiar, anyone? I don't have anything to hide. I'm just really in love with that guy.
That guy. Look at over there. Him.
He's cute. Him? I never visited him. Never.
Just close your eyes and point. And that's who I'm in love with right now. That's what all my emotions are about.
Can we also talk a little bit about the actor who plays Penelope?
Yes, please.
Huh. So, Nicola Coughlan, and she plays the wee little gay one in.
I love her so much. Dairy Girls.
In Dairy Girls. Have you ever seen Dairy Girls, crew?
No, I've never seen that. Dairy Girls.
Oh, God, you should watch it. It's
fantastic. Dairy Girls. Okay. Yeah,
Dairy Girls. It's ridiculous. It's this like Irish show. It's like such a ridiculous comedy. And she plays a lesbian in it.
Like a tiny little schoolgirl lesbian.
Yes.
And I love it.
And if we're talking about other characters who also, there are a ridiculous number of gay actors in Bridgerton, which is amazing, but also like, why couldn't they play gay? So you were
the
talking,
queen is too.
Yeah, you were talking about Queen Charlotte earlier.
Yeah, she is too. And she then when I was like, no, I was like, see, no, I knew it. I mean, even if her real character's gay, I was like, it's so funny how she never had a king. Like, he had whole dementia out here. Like, it was wild.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was just a single queen surrounded by women. And then that, like, one footman dude.
And what was the Dutch lady something.
Oh my God, why are there so many names? Lady Davenport?
She was too. Is it
Danbury.
Danbury. Lady Danbury?
Lady Danbury.
Walking into the spot with a whole bunch of women playing fucking cards, drinking, smoking. And I was like, I knew it. She's another one in that mother. You know what? I said, Eloise, there's so many now that I'm like, oh my God, yes.
Crew was like, I thought I was coming here to just talk about Eloise.
Nah, no. Sit down, boo. Have a seat at the table. Like, yep. Come talk to us.
I would love to see Queen Charlotte and Lady Danbury together.
Oh yeah, I feel like they probably messed closed. Yeah, behind closed doors, they was definitely getting it in. Like, yeah. It's no doubt about that at all. Even the mom, even a mama, I was like, I know the daddy is gone, but do we leave her out? You feel me? Like,
no. We don't.
You know what I mean?
Everyone is welcome. And this should have been gay.
Right.
Let's talk about the actual gay. Because there was some gay. Mm. So we had Henry Granville. I had to write down his name so I'd remember. Henry Granville, who's the painter that Benedict Bridgerton becomes friends with. Mm. And so when Benedict goes to his sex parties, he walks in on Henry and... Lord Weatherby, I think is his name, but he's like non-existent. And we see him sleep with this other man, and we sort of get to see they have one conversation about his sexuality, right? Where Benedict and Henry are talking, and Henry's like, I'm married to this woman, and like, we have an understanding. She gets to sleep with whoever she wants. I get to sleep with whoever I want, and we both get what we need. Like, they're actively beards.
Right.
And that's fine, and they talk about that. However, I feel like it's such a missed opportunity with Benedict. Like, why was Benedict not gay with Henry?
Right.
Like, didn't you feel like there was sexual tension between the two of them?
There was definitely sexual tension with him, but I do also remember him saying that he was in love with this Lord particular Weatherby. Man. Yeah. He was like, it's really hard to live a life where even though you care for this particular person that you married to, you can't actually have who you want and they standing across the room in front of you. Do you know what that feels like? And I was like, oh my, like, you know what I mean? Even from a gay man's perspective, I felt that on a soul level. I was like, ah, you know, that's some different. So I think even though there was sexual tension between them, his love for dude was like so deep, you know? And that was very, very interesting dynamic between the two of them, but I'm just like, God, can we bring it to this side? Like, I would have just loved to see that expounded upon us as women. Like, we go through those similar, and even though we kind of picked things out and we're picking things out of this particular, you know, show, I would have liked to see more of that because we don't necessarily talk about that in regards to the women. You know, it's very like hush hush, like we're doing it behind the scenes. I don't know if y'all seen Ratchet, but
seen it
that
yet.
Was. Yo, I'm not even gonna get into it. That was another one. I was like, snap. But yeah.
I have this is like a more of an overarching question, and maybe I'll cut it from the episode. I haven't decided. This is more of an overarching question. Why do you think it is more often that even if it is crumbs, in mainstream media, there's more gay men?
I feel like we live in a society where I not even feel like I know media is controlled. And if we want to be real, a lot of gay men, a lot of gay white men have a lot of power. So of course the media that we see is going to be portrayed of the people that are actually controlling the things that we're seeing. So of course, we're not going to be talking about how women are actually having thoughts and women are actually having these meetings with each other and actually having, and not even just about being sex. I mean, of course, we have a lot of sex. We have some good ass sex, but it's deeper than that. You feel me? It's a bond that we form as women together. And I feel like they don't want to see that on TV. If I'm gonna be real, they don't want us to actually come together. Cause you know what happens when we really come together. We've seen it throughout history. When we start coming together beyond just this physical, we create things that have never been seen before. So, of course, they'll limit us to well, we think she might be. Of course mm-hmm. she is, but we don't know. We got to check for second season. So that's really important. Not going to divert too deep into it, that we actually start creating our own media and figuring out yes. ways for us to actually,
oh my God,
you know what yes. I mean? Present
it. We agree wholeheartedly.
We agree wholeheartedly. It's why we're doing it. But it's also like, there's another thing too, because what I'm thinking, Ellie, is like, Ellie and I just recorded a whole episode too about like the
cheating trope,
which I think the episode's coming out after this one. But, yeah. So everyone will get to hear Ellie and I talk soon about like the trope of how so many like lesbian movies center around men in their story, really, because it's all about like, you know, oh, I'm married to a man and I fall in love with a woman and I'm cheating on my husband.
Jenny.
And it's Jenny. Like,
I'm yep. sorry.
Yep.
And did I say Jenny?
What was that? But it does. It's like, but it shows up again and again and again and again, you know, and I think that it's like there's still a way in which I still feel when you watch a lot of media that it's like it's less common to see actual queer storylines with two women because where's the man in them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like right. And that's what I think is most telling to me, is it's like, you know, okay, sure, like you still have to like, oh, I guess it's gay, but at least you get more men, you
right
know?
It's
and I think
like
that's more comfortable for a lot of the men yeah. making the media, so
yeah, it's yeah, no, it is, it definitely is. You made a really good point on that. Like, I feel like sometimes it can be like this weird rite of passage, like get through the men first and then we can talk about the yeah. women and their relationships. It's like some people don't even shit. I know a lot of gold star lesbians out here, you feel mm-hmm. me, that have never even seen, touched, smelt a penis. You feel me?
Smell.
Cut it.
None of that.
Cut it.
Can't say it. I'm leaving it. I'm gonna make an audio clip of just that.
You feel me?
Like, I've never smelt one.
Maybe a dildo, you feel me? But have never even scratched the surface of a dick. So I'm just saying, like, there's so many other narratives than just us old dating men. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a gold star lesbian myself, but there's so many other narratives of us just being who we are. Versus, like, once again, this rite of passage. I'm not going to go into porn, but that's another thing, too. Like,
yep.
damn, yeah. like, could you not hold the camera? Like, just relax. Like, I don't need to hear your grunts and shit, like, while I'm trying to watch this. Like, just relax. Yeah. I'm sorry. Y'all can cut this out.
We've lost track of something here.
We had something.
I know.
We're gonna. It's okay. I agree, though. It's why we need more queer women making yeah. media. 100%
bias yes. for us. So we yes. don't have to say should have been gay.
Yeah.
Right. We can just say, oh, that was gay and that was great.
Right.
What, before we wrap up on Bridgerton, like, because we have been mm-hmm. talking a little bit about season two, what do you want to see in season two?
I want to see Eloise come out as a full blown lesbian. I want to yes. see Penelope. Like, honestly, I kind of want to, I mean, because this is a running plan theme. I kind of want to see her have her reins, but I want Eloise to catch her ass. You feel me? Because she's been so deep in the DMs trying to pull all this mess together. Like, I want Eloise to know who she is, but allowing Penelope to play herself into her hands. So, or Eloise becomes a writer and she's starting to, like, you know what I mean? Like, she has stories from another perspective, but she's counteracting. She was like, oh my God, like, did you hear about this? And she's like, yeah, you know, I heard about her. I heard about, you know, who is it? Who is it, Penelope?
Oh, so
who
you want it? Eloise to be another Lady Whistledown?
I do. And I want her to know that Penelope is the Whistledown. And I want her to use her own stuff. Like,
damn.
I want it to be like this thing, like this, you know what I mean? This
and
rage
then they're fighting,
like,
and they're fighting and fighting,
yes.
and then they kiss. And then that's it.
Right.
You know I'm what into
I
mean? It.
Like, I knew it was you the whole time. Like, stop. Oh, your best fucking friend.
You want like a slow burn flirting via like Lady Whistledown
yeah.
style. Yep. Oh my God. Yeah.
Lady Whistledown.
Yes.
Lady Whistletop.
Like a DM war. You feel
yes.
me? But just on rap. You feel me? On wax. You feel me? Just like, you know, and then they. But,
and like,
you know,
everybody's
I mean?
Reading it, being like, what is happening? Like, what is
yeah,
happening?
Like, is it two Whistledowns now? And she's irritated because she's like, these motherfuckers trying to steal my shine. Because she knows where the place is. She knows where her shit is now. So it's easy for her because she has all this information now, it's easy for her to come up on Penelope like this. Like, it's really like that town is so small. I don't know if it's really anywhere for her to hide unless she moves shop.
Well, you know, and it's also again, look, am I going to get really deep on a show that I've never watched and characters that I know
I'm
nothing
so excited.
About?
Yeah, do it.
Of course I am. Okay. Here's what
I'm really good
see.
At it.
Because
really
the other thing is that I feel like when you have a character like Eloise who is set up to be like, I am going, like, you have to assume season two has to be a little bit more about her, like, coming into her own, right? Like, finding her strength, finding her path, like, deciding what she wants to do with her life. Because I feel like that's how they're setting her up as a character, right? Is like, mm-hmm. I don't want to fit in. She has to figure out what she does want to do. And I think she has to figure out what she does want to do is Penelope, right? And so then, what you do is you set up this thing where, like, Penelope is an interesting character to play with because Penelope has been set up as this, like, I care, but I do care. I'm really invested. I want to do the thing. I care about the boys. I want to find a husband and all this stuff, right? But does she really care about all that? Like, probably really deep down, she doesn't. But you've put up this facade, and now you also have, she has this dual side of, like, oh, I'm so naive and young and haha boys. But then on the other hand, she's Lady Whistledown. So, like, she's obviously not just this, you know, like, naive, idiotic girl, like, schoolgirl who doesn't know anything. And mm-hmm. so what I want to see is I want to see Eloise being the, like, pursuing, being like, I want this, we want this, you could want this, we could do this. And having to teach Penelope how to, like, tap into the Lady Whistledown inside to be like, you are, like, you know how to keep a secret, you know how to be, like, strong and empowered and whatever. Like, that's what I want for their story. Haven't seen it. Super excited for it.
That would be dope. That would be super,
please, like,
super
haven't
dope.
Seen season one, but I'm so excited for season two.
So excited for season two because right, this is what right. I want and I will accept nothing less, okay?
Okay.
So
I like it. I like
which
it.
Which characters are we shipping? Clearly,
oh,
Eloise. Eloise and Penelope. What's their ship name?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You said they
oh,
the
they're
ship
so
name.
Mad.
Their ship name. So if you put their names together, like, Penelope.
What the... Ooh.
Penelope, yeah. There's Elope.
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 Ooh, Elope.
Elope.
I'm into it.
Please, Elope.
Who else are we shipping? Who else do we oh, Penelope and Marina.
Panina. Mm.
Panina?
Panina.
Marina and
Marilipi.
Marilipi?
Yeah.
Marinipi?
Marinipi.
Yeah. Manelope.
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 Oh, God, these are all so bad.
These are all so beautiful. And I'm going to also throw in Queen Charlotte and Lady Danbury because.
Yes.
Yeah,
they would
definitely.
Be a great couple.
Charlotte Danbury. Shoo, Charlotte and Danbury.
Shanbury.
Yeah,
that sounds like champagne.
Mm. Yeah,
they sound so good together.
They do.
Yeah,
they
really
do.
I think that's honestly could. I would think Queen Charlotte and Lady Danbury will happen before they give us Eloise and Penelope.
Man, I would love to
just
see
such
it.
Such a waste. Such a waste.
Such a waste. Oh my gosh, so good. I think it's time for a
I'm
Q
so
and Gay.
Ready.
Are you ready?
Q and Gay.
All right, so crew, we're going to ask you some yes or no or multiple choice questions. You're going to answer them, and then we're going to put them on our Twitter for all of our listeners. Here we go. Are you ready?
Okay, cool.
All right, question number one. Have you ever kept a secret from your best friend? Yes or no?
Ooh. I feel like, have I kept a secret? I don't think I have. No, not that I could think of.
She's keeping that secret so well. She's
like
not even going to say she's keeping a secret.
I love it.
I'm just kidding. No, I
all
don't
right.
Think
good
I
answer.
Have.
Good
I don't
answer.
Think I have.
Question two: who is the best Bridgerton brother out of A. Anthony, B. Benedict, C. Colin, or D. Gregory?
I like Benedict. I do. I feel like Benedict had a really, just like a really soft, like, way about him. You know what I mean? I feel like his Benedict is the one who was like, he's the one that kind of went to the party
the
and stuff like that.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like that. I think sometimes we see, especially with those type of movies, we see like the men always in like this divine masculine energy. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we all have both, of course, but like he just had this very like light, you know, you could tell he was very much so in his divine feminine. And I appreciated that about him. So we're going to have to go with that, with the brother. Because the other one, the oldest one, was the piece of work.
Yeah, I know. We didn't even talk about him because.
Yeah, at all.
All right. Question number 3. What gets you pregnant? A, promenading with a boy. B, writing letters to a boy. A boy bringing you sweets. Or D, dancing with a boy.
I don't necessarily fuck with boys. So.
All right. What gets people pregnant?
Dancing.
Dancing.
Dancing. Dancing good. With the boy.
Good.
It'll get you pregnant. That's funny. Y'all shady for that question.
Y'all funny. How do you make babies, crew?
How do you make a baby?
We dance.
Yeah. We dance. We dance, children.
Question 4. What parts of Victorian outfits should make a comeback? A, empire dresses. B, the hair pieces. C, the capes. Or D, the waistcoats.
Oh, definitely the hair pieces. Definitely the hair pieces. They gotta come through for the hair pieces. It was here, pieces over there. Like,
I'm so curious when we finally get out of like quarantine life. And you know, it's like everyone's just gonna go like fucking crazy for a couple months, right? That's what I want to see is like what's going to become the weird thing that like everyone gets into. Watch it.
Everyone gets so crazy that we're all out in Victorian garb. Is that what you're saying? That's how wild we're going to get.
Everyone has like a fucking bird on their head and we're just like out at clubs. It's going to be great.
Yo, steampunk like crazy. People wearing like eye goggles with one eye. You feel me? Top hats and shit.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
If it wasn't going to happen before, we just started the trend. So.
Yep, right. I'm ready for it.
All right, question number 5. Who is Penelope more in love with? A, Eloise. B, Marina. Or C, Colin?
Definitely Eloise.
Easy one. And on an easy
suppressed.
One.
Yeah. She's so suppressed.
There's so much there.
I think the main takeaway, Ellie, is Bridgerton.
Should have been gay. Crew, thank you so much for hanging out with us and talking all of the feelings about Bridgerton.
No, I appreciate y'all for having me come through for sure. I couldn't wait to let that one out.
That was.
I was like, is nobody else seeing this? Like,
oh, we are all seeing it.
Nobody.
Do not worry. Yeah, so I'm sure definitely. When this comes out, people are going to be yes. So where can people find you and Black Lesbian Archives online? And what events do you have after March 1st?
All right, so you can definitely find all information about the exhibit at blacklesbianarchives.wix.com/info. All events/upcoming if you're looking for specific events. You can also find me. I also do astrology too. So if you're looking for an astrologer, arrangestorm.wix.com/info if you're into that. For events as far as the BLA after March 1st. So we have March 5th. We're having a discussion about Yoruba. Your Ashe, traditions and spirituality. I want to say amongst, you know, beyond the Black church, but it is deeper than that. So definitely come through for that March 5th. March 13th, we are having a film screening. It's called The Berlin Years, 1984 to 1992, about a film that Dagmar Schultz actually put together about Audre Lorde's Pan-Africanism across the way in Berlin and her experience that she had, you know, when she was making that connection between worlds, Afro-Germans, Afro-German lesbians, things like that. And then I would just say TBA for the archival workshop. I'm debating if I should go get somebody to do the workshop. And then there's something that's in me that's like, you need to host the workshop. So I'm like, I'm teetering the line, but I feel like by the end of this week, I'll know exactly what it is. So definitely check out for that, all that information. And like I said, any information that we have after that, if it's anything coming up, will be posted on the website. So definitely make sure you check that out for
awesome.
Sure.
Awesome. And you Very have a cool. newsletter people can sign up for on the website too, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. If you are on the website, if you want to just kind of keep up with what's going on, instead of like waiting for Twitter, Instagram, or whatever the case may be, or Facebook, you can definitely subscribe to the website. I actually need to start telling people that. Subscribe to the website. So we can get your subscription, and then so you can know like when things are posted, you know, you get the ping automatically of the update. So definitely subscribe to that for sure. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Awesome. Thank you again, so crew. Much. I had a blast.
Thank you, Ellie. Thank you, Lee. No, I appreciate y'all.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 hip.
We love hearing from all of you. We love building this community. So we just like to shout out some of our favorite things that we've heard from our listeners every episode. And this week we have two shout outs. First, we want to shout out a listener, Kenza, who reached out to us on our website and also apparently is French. So salut, merci pour le message. We always love hearing about things that we haven't heard of, and this is one that I'm super excited about. It's a movie called Dating Amber that I think is on Amazon Prime Video, and sounds like it's super cute. So if you haven't checked it out yet, I hear it's queer and cute, and that's good enough for me. So thank you, Kenza, for that suggestion. And also Donna, who reached out to us on Facebook, also with suggestions of movies. This was in response to our Fried Green Tomatoes episode. So other movie suggestions of like early queer cinema. So thank you so much, Donna, for suggesting that we check out Color Purple and Desert Hearts. They are both on our list for sure now. As always, we also want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster, Jess Klaus, Tanya Ferguson, Jacqueline Rose Nishino, Sarah and Julia, Carrie Ann Lawrence, Danny Gunlock Tamora, Brittany Ray, Alana Rosen, Tara Gleason, and Lizette Stye, and our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen, Leah Henley, Liz Chen, and Evelyn Smith. Thank you all so much for your support. We could not do this podcast without you and all of our patrons, and you're just all the best.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or you can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up.
We also have some videos up on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
And also remember, you can already subscribe to our feed for The Flame on any podcasting app. That way you'll be ready for new episodes as soon as they start dropping in June.
If you want to support the podcast, you can rate and review us. You can rate and review The Flame as well, which would be very helpful. So we have some 5-star reviews up there before we get started. You can write an honest review on what you think of the trailer because, you know, it's pretty great. You can also rate and review Les Hangout. It helps other people find the podcast and know what to expect.
If you want to check out our merch, we have all of our designs up. You can get them on tees, on totes, on mugs, on masks, on sweatshirts, on all sorts of good stuff. You can find all of them on our TeePublic, and you can get that at bit.ly/lesshop.
If you want to support us financially, you also could join our Patreon at bit.ly/lespatreon. Our Discord chat has been out of control lately as we had so many new patrons join in the past few weeks to hang out with us from the Teenage Bounty Hunters fandom. We see you all. If you want to join us, you can join us at bit.ly/lespatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.